what it means to be a rabbi in the community, what it means to be a teacher. I understand that there's a roughly 80-20 split in the room between those of you who are interested in going into the rabbinate and those of you who are interested in going into Jewish education in the chinuch. And to try to make this as relevant also to the spouses, to the wives that are here, and we're very happy that as many wives as possible were able to join us for this session. Clearly the basic point of departure is that any field that we go into with Avodas HaKodesh, much more so than other professions, very much involve the spouses as well. That our spouses play a very important role in the work that we do. And the first yesod is that communication and connection with one another is absolutely central. Rabbis tend to lose sight of and to forget about and to take advantage of their wives. And the first thing I want to say is that rabbis should kiss the grounds that our wives walk on. And we should be mechabed our wives way beyond what we would ever imagine we should do. To appreciate the sacrifice, the connection, the sincerity, the enabling, to be able to really be makir tov and to understand the role that our wives play in the work that we do as rabbis. And to absolutely never to be meisiach das from that for a second. I'm going to come back to this later on in the context of family, in the context of rabbis' wives, in the context also of rabbis' children. Rabbis' children get lost a lot in the shuffle. In the psychological literature, there's actually something called PK syndrome. And it's in the field of psychology. PK syndrome means preacher's kid syndrome. And there's a special syndrome for children, in our case, of rabbis. Both of us are children of public rabbis, and we've each worked out in our own way to resolve whatever issues we may have had, but it's an issue that needs to be addressed. You have to be aware of it, and you have to do whatever you can to try to avoid for your own children the potential problems. I want to begin, certainly, on a positive note about how an incredible chesed it is from the Rabbona Shel Olam to give us an opportunity to be involved in this kind of work. I've been myself, and everything is totally autobiographical. For the entire session, I've been involved myself in the work of the rabbinate for about close to 30 years. I'm no longer a pulpit rabbi per se, but I'm very much involved in working with pulpit rabbis and in teaching, and in teaching Torah, and to be a Melameh Torah L'Amo Yisrael. There's no greater schus that we could possibly have. And whatever challenges, and whatever frustrations, and whatever issues we have to face, we should never be meisiach das from the great gift. And the great gift that we have, not only to be Melamdei Torah L'Am Yisrael, but the gift that that gives to us, the sense of satisfaction and the sense of being engaged in something that has incredible value. We have friends, we have neighbors, we have relatives, all of whom hopefully are engaged in some kind of important, gainful work. But at the end of the day, it's a business. At the end of the day, it's a job. At the end of the day, sometimes it's more meaningful, sometimes it's less meaningful. At the end of our days, it's always meaningful. And if we spend the day properly, it brings a tremendous amount of seeker. My whole life has been enriched and blessed by the opportunities that I've had. I'm speaking now personally, not just selflessly, but personally for myself as a human being, to be able to be with people when they need me, to help people in the most profound ways, not just in the abstract, in order to be able to teach them Torah and to pass on the Masorah, but a tremendous sense of accomplishment when somebody's facing a difficult situation, when there's a levaya, or Baruch Hashem, the opposite, when there's a simcha, there's a chasra, to be with people at the most important moments and to create connections with people. There's nothing that can be greater than that. There's no greater sense of satisfaction. I want to begin, I want to frame our remarks in the context of some learning, because after all, we're the main Torah, we know Torah, we're interested in Torah, and that's the point of departure for everything. But it's not a shiur, it's a discussion. The texts are only the tips for the conversation that I want to have with you. And I want to invite you to ask any questions, to stop me at any time, to share questions, frustrations, what am I going to live on, I can make money. I can go to law school and make a lot more money. I have to pay tuition for my children. What's going to happen? There are issues and challenges that need to be addressed. But I think we need to see the whole picture. So I want to show you a run in Rosh Hashanah that to me really is the point of departure for the whole conversation and why it's important for us to really devote our lives to Avodas HaKodesh, whether it's in the rabbinate or whether it's in Jewish education. What they both have in common is that we're not only concerned about ourselves, but that we're also concerned about others. And the Jewish people as a whole is on our radar screen. And we have one have an impact on others in very direct ways. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Chesam Dalah from Rav Zera, Hami Avah, where the Rav Zera tell a bracha school, and Afu Disha Yotzah Mutzi. So the basic principle is even though I was Yotzah, I can still be Mutzi somebody else. And the Gemara gives certain exceptions. And Rashi says, Sheol Ekon Yisrael Arvei, who said, what's the mitzvah? So we know the principle that appears a few times in Shas of Arvus, of Kol Yisrael Arvei, who said, what's the. So I always understood Kol Yisrael Arvei, who said, what's the. However you understand Arvei. Arvei is technically understood as a co-signer, that I'm connected to you, I have some kind of a legal relationship with you, this is a bit of Arvus. Arvei is a legal term of connection. I'll just tell you parenthetically that Chassidus Rebbe once taught Kol Yisrael Arev from Zevoseh, Arev is Milashon Ki Kolech Arev Umarech Nav. What is Ki Kolech Arev Umarech Nav? Ashmi is Kolech. Ki Kolech Arev. Arev means sweet. Ki Kolech Arev is a sweetness to your voice. Kol Yisrael Arev from Zevoseh is not just some kind of a juridical, technical, legal category. Kol Yisrael Arev from Zevoseh means that Jews have to be sweet to one another, that there has to be a certain farmkeit, a certain ava, a certain engagement with one another. It's not just a technical association, but there's an emotional connection to other Jews. There's an emotional connection to Christ. There's an emotional connection between all of us sitting in this room. It's not just something dry and cold and legalistic. But however it is, the halach of Arvus is the way Rashi explains the principle in the Gemara, is called Abrachos. So the Ran is most of something here that's, to me, very striking, and it's essentially been the mantra for my own personal involvement in Jewish activities, in Torah, and Klal, and Am Yisrael, as much as I can. So the Ran says on this Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Tana Avta V'Eder Abzera, Kol HaBrachos Kula Nafu V'Yishe Yotza Motzi, Sherei Kol Yisrael Arei B'Zela Zeb Mitzvis. Then he says something that to me is really astounding. The kivin shalom yotza chavero, kemi shalom yotza huda. I always thought that Arvus is that I'm yotze, but I have an additional chiyuv to try to somebody else should also be yotze. But I'm somehow obligated to help other Jews be yotze. So I took care of myself, but there's an extra union of Arvus. So the Ran says that it's a concern in my own mitzvahs. It's not like I took care of myself and there's an extra bonus to try to take care of somebody else. And my obligation somebody else has mechayev me to the extent that without the fulfillment of that, then my own obligation is lacking. So what an image, what a challenge for us is to understand that it's not extra to me, it's not external to me, it's not additional to me, but it's part of me. That my own very kiyum hamitzvus is in a sense contingent upon the way I extend myself to others. So there's sort of this obligation and connection. But the obligation and connection that I'm trying to address is not a technical obligation. It's also a personal and meaningful obligation. It's an obligation that brings to us a tremendous amount of meaning in our own lives. We could have gone to law school. We all could have gone to law school. We all could have gone to business school. We are Baruch Hashem bright, and we're smart, and we went to college, and we could have chosen any career that we want. And I have no doubt that many of us sustain a significant amount of pressure to choose other options in our lives, in our careers. But we're hanging tough, and we feel that we want to become involved in the Jewish community. That nafshenu chashka b'Torah, and we want to be able to make a difference. And somehow we feel that the mitzvahs, the future of Klal Yisrael, is our business. It's something that we do want to devote ourselves to. And it's a value that we do consider to be important, even though we understand the remuneration at least financial, might be better otherwise. As you see at the end, two statements from the Shlach, both of which are also interesting, in applying in the first case the mitzvah of Osama of Adam Reyecha, in the second case the mitzvah of Hashanah Saveda, also to outreach, also to be engaged with others in the Jewish community. Osama of Adam Reyecha says the Shlach on mitzvah too, if he shechad Yisrael Arayim Zelo Zeh, then this chayav to Ba'atzola Saguf, Osama of Adam Reyecha, Koshkein Ba'atzola Sanefesh, Shein Yirena over Aveira, then you shouldn't just simply share Ma'amid al-Lomo, then Yatzilayu. Osama al-Dam Reyecha is also a din in the mitzvahs of Reyecha. It's not only a din in the physical body of Reyecha. Or Hashem al-Sameda, if somebody lost Lomo, we have to bring it back to them. So if somebody also lost their way in Judaism, so it's also an Aveda. It's also something to rewrite. So we feel that we have a sense of an obligation. But it comes at a cost. I want to speak to the cost of the obligation and how to deal with the issues of the cost. So we all can now very wonderful platitudes about how important it is to be involved in Torah and Talmud Torah and teaching Torah, and it's great and it's wonderful, and to be Muchan and Bezuman and Yitz Hashem and Chayom and Rabbah, everything is great. But let's try to get into the nitty-gritty and talk to the details and to the specifics. So there are a number of challenges. One challenge is sort of paradoxically to the issue of personal growth. The issue of personal growth is a challenge to rabbis and also is a challenge to educators. What do I mean? Again, autobiographical. So I was a rabbi in a small town in Massachusetts for 4 years. And then I moved to New York and I was a rabbi of a big shul on the Upper West Side. When I came, there were 170 families. In 1981, when I left in 2000, we had 630 families. And I walked out of the Jewish Center in the year 2000. The reason why I walked out of the Jewish Center in the year 2000 was kind of at the top of my game. I was still under 50. I had been there for 20 years, and the shul was flying on hype. From 170 to 630, and it was crazy. It was just out of control. And that's why I left. I left the Jewish Center because my personal growth was being stunted. I felt like I was being overwhelmed by the obligations that I had as a rabbi of that community, and I felt that my own learning and my own scholarship and my own thinking and my own personal growth wasn't happening anymore. That in a sense, the way I tried to frame it myself was that I created a monster that I couldn't control anymore. It overwhelmed me. Rather than me being on top of it, I became overwhelmed. There's a klal Yerideya that I'm sure all of you are familiar with. The technicalities in Yerideya I'll leave to you. And that is, I need the Torah v'miflat lo bola. If you're being poet, you can't be bola. So the issue with the flesh of the pot and the water and the milk drops in, I need the Torah v'miflat lo bola. If you're poet, you can't be bola. So my father told me many years ago that this is really a problem for pulpit rabbis. The problem is that if you're constantly being poleth, then you can't be boleth. If you're being Torah the Bifla, what does a rabbi do after all? Or what does a teacher do after all? It's constantly poleth. We're constantly giving. This year, and this person, and that issue, and that community, and that minyan, and that Har Torah, and that chasana. It's an activity of plita. It's constantly giving. But the reality is, it's not just in your day, but in life. If you're constantly being poleh, you can't be poleh. When do you have time to be poleh? If you're always being poleh. But the reality is that if you're not poleh, then at some point you start running on empty. How many times can you give over the same shiur in 19 different ways that you heard in yeshiva? And how many times can you give over the same part that you heard at some convention? And how many times can you give over the part that you call panicking on Friday afternoon to a friend of yours for a quick drasha? What kind of a time is it going to have? What's going to happen to you? So you have to build in times for Belia. Because if you don't have Belia, then there's not going to be left anymore to be poet. So in a sense, it's paradoxical, because you think you're involved in God's work, you're involved in Torah, you're involved, you're a rabbi. You're a rabbi, see, I'm not a businessman. I'm involved in Torah all the time. So it's not true.
Because you get bogged down in so many million things that unless you make it a real priority, it's not going to happen. And even if you make it a priority, you end up preparing just to get by the shiur. You don't prepare for yourself anymore. You prepare for the Baal Batim. And after about 4 weeks in the shul, you know exactly what it's going to pay for you to get by the shiur. You know exactly the nature of the Baal Batim, the level of who you're talking to. So you scramble to prepare to get by the class. And if you're a really wonderful rabbi, so you do 2 classes, 3 classes, 4 classes, and you'll scramble to get by the class. And then Torah Matah, what's going to happen to your own learning? And then you're going to recycle. You become like a college professor. Every 2 years, it's Chayza Menir. Every 2 years, you give the same stuff. So then you go flying on empty. It's, you know, you just press the button, you're automatic pilot, and you go. So what happened to your own personal growth? Would I not have more personal growth if I stayed by myself, and I stayed another 5 years here, Ben Kostei HaYeshiva, and how wonderful it would be? Now I'm talking. Now I'm really developing myself. I'm really becoming an Oged Hashem. Now I'm really becoming a better. I'm really learning. So there's a tremendous price that I pay if I want to go ahead. So I found that for myself. I found that it was impossible for me to be able to continue my own personal growth in the situation in which I found myself. So I left. It takes 20 years maybe to reach that. And maybe if I was smarter, I could have figured out ways how to deal with the issue without having to leave. But it's not as if I walked out and I became a businessman. So I still feel like I'm very much engaged. But it's a challenge that's an important challenge. I draw your attention to the Meshech Chacham at the end of Parshas Noah. It's like you say this to the Meshech Chacham. I virtually put it on my refrigerator. I certainly have Shibisi and Meshech Chacham on the net yourself. Rashi Kachma says that everybody in the world identifies or tries to contrast Noach with Avraham. Umteen midrashim on Noach and Avraham. What's Bedorosa? Bedorosa being with the tzaddik. Noach was a tzaddik. He was a tzaddik only Bedorosa, not Bedorosa. If he lived in the door of Avraham, he would have been a better tzaddik, less of a tzaddik. So there's this tremendous desire to try to see Noach in the context of Avraham. But there's a medrash that sees Noach in the context of Moshe. And the medrash says that Godol Chaviv Moshe mi Noach. Noach mishenikra ish tzaddik nikra ish adama. Moshe mishenikra ish mitzri nikra ish elokim. How does Noach enter the biblical stage? Noach enters the biblical stage in a blaze of glory. At the end of Parshas Bereishis, Noach matzachem be'emi Hashem, at the beginning of Parshas Noach, Noach ish tzadir, tamir mayo, midorosa, v'solokim, v'solok Noach. It's on top of the world. How does Noach leave the biblical stage after the Mabu? V'yachol Noach ish adama, became an ish adama. What about Moshe Rabbeinu Lehefach? Moshe Rabbeinu begins, ish mitzvi yitzivadu. There's a lot of discussion in the Medrash whether that was appropriate. The fact that Moshe allowed someone to identify him as an Ish Mitzri was not necessarily l'shvach of Moshe Rabbeinu. But he starts as an Ish Mitzri with the Menos Yisrael. And how does he end? He ends up in Ish Elokim. So one is Me'ibur Rama L'Bira Mikta, the other is Me'ibur Mikta L'Ibur Rama. What a difference. What's the difference, says Meshach, what's the difference? Why is it that one is perceived up at the end one way and one the other way, that they took opposite trajectories? So the way I understand the Meshech Chachma, and I want to link to a little bit to the Meshech Chachma, that both Noach and Moshe, had a number of things in common. One thing they had in common was that they were saved by an ark. They were saved by a teva. So Noach we know, and Moshe we also know. He's a little boy. His mother put him in the teva. And the second thing that was common was they both confronted the potential destruction of their generation. Noach the destruction of the whole world. And Moshe, after the Maisa, Hashem says, the jig is up. I'm finished. I'm ready to destroy them. The answer is, how did they respond when they were faced with the potential destruction of the generation? What did they do about it? So, Medrash Rashi says that Noach was sitting there, and he was hacking on the teva, and hacking and hacking. And how long did Noach hack on his teva? How many years? 120 years. And if
somebody walked by and saw him hacking on the paper, so they'd say, why are you hacking? So he would say, you should know Mama's going to come. He was very defensive. He was very passive. Somebody happened to fall on the street and my dog was hacking. Somebody happened to pause long enough to wonder, why are you hacking? I was here 70 years ago and I saw you doing the same thing. And bothered to ask, so he would tell them. But in the case of Moshe, what did he do? He's out there, he goes out to fight for them. So the Meshech Chachma says, the Yeshnei Drachim Avodas Hashem Yisbarach. The Derech Echad Mishel Yachad Atzma Avodas Yisbarach. Mizvodin. That's one way. I'm working on myself. I stay Ben Kosle HaYeshiva. I'm Mizvodin. I develop myself. The Yesh Misha Oseh Bitzor Chetzibur. Mivadil Atzma Mishvil Aklav. Mafkir Nafsha. I'm Mivadil myself. I'm Mafkir myself. I give up of myself in the club. To drachim. Im kei tzarech lama, you would imagine the fiha musad. Shezeh shem esbodeh yala maila maila. Vezeh yereh mi madregasa. You'd think that the person who's misbodeh is in a higher madrega. And the person who's mafkir of himself in the club, in the tzibur, who sacrifices himself in the community, would be on a lower madrega. V'chol zeh matzanu, shenoach esbodeh v'loach yechaz b'nei doro, l'kach ha-merolov, sh'afu ayu l'kloyim. He only cares about himself. And therefore, he's Yoreg Mimadreg Muso, and he's called an Ishadoma. Or the Moshe Nigurish Mitzri Shurchrech Lugolos, Hoel, however, Musa Atzma Yisrael Arigas Mitzri, Nigurish Olamim, Shehidia Latachlis Ashlemus, Ashmuchalad Mahas. It's counterintuitive. And Shachachma says that if you give yourself in the community, it's potentially possible for you to be even on a higher Madreg than somebody who is exposed. But the question is, that's very nice theoretically. It's very nice conceptually. But practically speaking, how do you do it? The Yaakov Emdin of the Mishnayos of Ushmas are on a security office. The Yaakov Emdin, who himself had a 4-year stint as a community rabbi and he hated every second of it. And Rabbi Yaakov Emdin writes in the Chuvas that after he finished being a rabbi in the town of Emdin, from which he drew his name, Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, which he said after he left, I don't ever want to be associated with this. It's one of the ironies of Jewish history that he became known dafka against his will, that I don't want to have anything to do with them. This is Edgar Finstein, don't even want to think about Emden. I had a terrible time in Emden. It was awful. I don't ever want to be associated with Emden. So for the rest of his life, with Dorian Dorian, he's known as Rav Yaakov Emden. I feel sorry for him. But he writes in the Chuva, after I left Emden, I made a bracha, he says, B'shem O'Malchus, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Shalom, Basani Oved, an Oved with an Aleph, not Oved with an Ayin. Baruch Hashem, B'shem Malchus, Shalom, Basani Oved. And the Shnoiser Rabbanis in his parish of Mishnayis talks about it, how it kills you because it takes away so much time. So much of your time is given up. You look at the Mishnah Yavitz on your own. So the first insight is to try to really spend time and to make it a priority. To make it a priority to find time for your own learning and for your own personal growth. To try to do so within the Sagara of the teaching that you do or the rabbinate that you do. I remember Rav Soloveitchik once said to me, Gazal Vashon, I was shocked. He said to me, you know, rabbis also have to get stuck. And it's amazing, when I became a rabbi, I really understood it. Because what happens when a mishloach comes? You take out a check from the charity fund. The charity fund gets stuck. You're a big conductor. You have a gazillion. You're swollen, charity fund, a fancy shul. So the charity fund is, what about you? Unless you realize that you also have to get to the mishloach, you won't realize that you have to get to the mishloach. So the Rav said, rabbis, it's like olive beds. But it was like a bolt of lightning when I began to understand what he really meant. Rabbis also, guess what? Rabbis also have to learn. You think I'm crazy. Rabbis also have to learn. And not just to be yaitzi, and not just for the sake of preparing the shiur, but with my own growth. I try to tell all my talmidim, why I have now 80 rabbis, public rabbis that I'm working with very closely. And Mr. Shem in 2 years will be 120, and then 160. I have chaburis of 40 rabbis, pulpit rabbis that I work with. I try to be mechayev each one of them to write an article. To take a subject, something the Gemara says in Akum Lamed Mashalim Al Chafetz, you must have given a shiur that was good in the last 4 years. A shiur, epis, a something, a ha'ara. You must have said something interesting, and after you finished, you have to say seven others the next week. So you put it aside and say, oh, gee, I really wish I could develop this more, but I can't develop more. I have so many things to do. I have to meet with nine people, and I have a chassan, and I have a levi, and I have a sheva brachas on Sundays. I'm dead because I have seven things. I have to run to here and there, then I got this dinner and yet a dinner. So I don't have time to think. We mechayev yourself to write an article. Whatever it is. It's an article in a halacha, it's an article in Ashkaf, it's an article in history. Something Jewish to be mechayev yourself to learn. Because if you're not mechayev yourself in the misgarret of writing an article, it's not going to happen. Rabbis also have to learn. It's a challenge and something that we have to do. Second challenge I want to speak to is the issue of ego. And the third challenge I want to speak to is family. So this is a big issue in rabbinate, and it's more so the moment rabbinate than it is in teaching. That is that people look at you very often in ways way beyond how you really deserve to be looked at. When you become the rabbi, you take on a certain itzel, a certain frame, a certain persona. And people relate to the rabbi, and they're not relating to you anymore. And they will invest you with tremendous amount of power. And achon vei to the rabbi, who really takes this seriously and thinks that the rabbi is really holding by that level of power. In psychological language, it's called transference. It's called transference to an authority figure. You become an authority figure. You become their father, you become their teacher, you become their grandfather, you become the authority figure in their life. Now you're looking at me thinking I'm crazy. If I'm a fisher, then I'm Engel. I'm 35 years old. I'm 25 years old. They could be my grandparents. So you got to be crazy. The answer is I'm not crazy. They will look at you and invest you with a certain authority. You always have to measure yourself and not get carried away with what people think of you. And not take it to heart and not take it seriously. You have to make a cheshbon nefesh all the time. Who am I? What am I? What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? And here very often our spouses are great brothers for us. We come home, we think we're a big matter. In 2 seconds flat, we're mopping the floors we should, and we're changing the diapers we should, and we're nobody's. Come on, I know you. Don't give me this baloney. I know you. And it's a brother, it's wonderful. We learn who we really are. We come face to face with ourselves in the mirror. And it works the opposite also, because people are going to be angry at you, and people are going to hurt you, and people are going to say bad things about you, and you're going to say, what did I do? No good deed ever went unpunished. Here I buried them, and I took care of them, and I helped them, and why are they going against me when my contract comes up? Why are they seeing me? Why are they saying Lashon Hara during the drasha? Why are they reading when I'm speaking? The answer, it also has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with their experience dealing with authority figures. I just want you to write down what I'm telling you, because if you don't understand it now, but you will understand it 7 minutes after you become a rabbi. It has nothing to do with you. Lo miduv sheikh, v'lo miuktzech. Don't think you're a rashi baha, and don't think you're a shmata. Some will make you feel like a shmata, and some will make you feel like a rashi baha. The answer is you're neither. It's their projection onto you. You have to take your own pulse and not get carried away, not say it's all about me, and so on. Now, rabbis sometimes, and it's also true with mechanchim, have a martyr's complex. The martyr's complex is, without me, it can't happen. Without me, if I don't spend 7 hours with this kid after class, the kid's going to be an iceberg, and his gehenna is going to be on my shoulder. And if I don't spend and give the extra shiur, or talk to the couple, or get to that meeting, God knows what's going to happen, and I'm the only one who can save. It's the Messiah complex. I am the Messiah, I'm the Savior. And I'm the only one who can do it. Now, to some extent, it's true, but we get over and inflated. And we think, Taka, that it's really true all the time. And it's not true. We get carried away with our own self-importance, and it's totally inappropriate. We need to make a cheshbon, and we need to have a balance. And what most often comes, the price we pay as a result of our Messiah complex, is our family. And here I want to speak to family, because for me this is Yehare Valiyad in the rabbinate and also in Chinuch and in Jewish education. The power and the centrality of family. So I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you a question. We're all well-meaning, and we all have wonderful, wise, Baruch Hashem, many of you are sitting here. You are well-meaning. And we're in this together. And we've made a commitment to be in this together. We have a tremendous amount of enthusiasm and inspiration and Avas HaTorah and Avas Yisrael, and we're in it together. We understand how important it is, and we're in it together. So I want to ask you a question. So we learned not too long ago. Hashem says to Avraham, Lech Lecha, Avraham, Lech Lecha, Me'atzim, 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 and then the Pasuk says, Avraham gives himself up, Ve'elech et Allo, he took with him, Es HaNefesh, Hashem Asu B'charan, Ve'etzim, Me'atzim, 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 Me'atzim. So my question to you is, what is Es HaNefesh, Hashem Asu B'charan? So the Es HaNefesh, Hashem Asu B'charan is the analogy to our Talmud. Was the analogy power balabat. These are the people upon whom we have an impact. The Sanefesh Hashirasa, there it's mamish literally. Rashi says that Avraham was Megayer of the Anashim, and Sarah is Megayer of the Anashim. It's a couple together involved in Avodah Sakonash. He really working for the Jewish people. He has his role, she has her role. So how many people? How many people were Sanefesh Hashirasa? Ready to go, the eights of the lachas, they're ready to be on the way there, it's not the contracts. How many people follow Moshe on the glory road into Eretz Kanan? So the Rambam says, Luchas of the Zara, that's Xerox for you at the bottom. And if you had more time, I'd go to Rabbi Ruman and ask you to throw out a number. How many people do you think it was? 100, 200, 287, 942. So the Rambam says, actually, it's got to a love, a love of the world. Of the Rambam are muffin rivers. And the Nefesh Asher Asu B'chara is a muffin rivers. A muffin rivers is equal a lot of people. Okay? A lot of people. A muffin is thousands, rivers is 10,000. It's not rivers, it's rivers. I don't know how many rivers. It's tens of thousands of people. That's pshat. It's a Beferish Rambam, the same Beferish Rambam you break your heads on all day. The Farish Rambam Perik Halacha Gimel Perik Alfuch is at the bottom of the page. Now my question to you is: it's a sobering question. What happened to the Aleph and Rambam? Where are they? Where did they go? I'm turning pages of the Chumash and I'm looking for the Aleph and the Rambam. I'm looking to see what happened to them. All I know is that at the bottom line, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham. And I said to Avraham, you're going to have an impact. HaKadosh Baruch Hu framed that impact in a half sentence. Ki bi Yitzchak, yikare l'cha zara. Nish di alofim, and nish di revavos, and not this revavah, and not that revavah. Ki bi Yitzchak, yikare l'cha zara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good to us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us children. And what do? We shech our children. We sacrifice our children. We assume that everything's in the form of our children. Because after all, they're growing up and living in a household. After all, they're exposed all the time. After all, they see themselves in that fashion, their father, their mother. Verstehst du? Somehow they're going to breathe in the values. And what happens? PK syndrome. What happens is, it's a mess. It's a mess. If you have children who grow up in a rabbinic home, who are really not only become rabbis, but who really genuinely and sincerely are committed to what the parents are committed. We go off and ratify Klal Yisrael. We go off and save the Jewish people. We have a Messiah complex, and unless I'm at that meeting, it's not going to happen, so I have to be at that meeting. And I forget about my children. My children are not on my radar screen. And when my children are not on my radar screen, it's a disaster. The Medrash says in Pinchas on page 3, Mi lanu gadol mi Moshe Rabbeinu. Mi lanu gadol mi Moshe Rabbeinu. By definition, Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu now, after the Nosh Slavcha, says, it's my turn. Yifkor Hashem alakei aruchos l'chol bos. This medrash killed me. This medrash killed me. My father was a rabbi, a very busy rabbi. The last thing in the world I ever wanted to be was a rabbi. The last thing in the world I wanted to be was a rabbi. And I went into Jewish history. I was going to become an academic. I was going to do my thing for the Jewish people through the university. And then I needed money. I needed money. My parents were supporting me. I spent 4 years at Harvard University, and I'm fetching the bank, and I'm going to really make a great contribution to the Jewish people. But I don't have any money anymore. My parents, it's not fair. I have a child, it's not fair. So there's a small little shul in Massachusetts that's looking for a rabbi. They have 12 families. So they'll give me $6,000 a year. $6,000 a year. Mamish Monday or Shemai. That's $6,000 more than I was ever making in my life. So I become a rabbi. While I'm getting my doctorate, I have to have parnassim now. So rather than becoming a businessman or a garbage man or a taxi driver, so I'll become a rabbi. My father begged me, gets me. You never know. You don't want to be a rabbi. Get the piece of paper, stick it in the drawer, do me a favor. There was no way I wanted to be a rabbi. I went to Masechta Torah V'das. It was a gelechter. The whole thing was a gelechter. We came in, we studied four pages of your day pages. We studied once that two daf. Every time our Rebbe, Rav Rifkin Zichron Levracha, was at Sadiq said, Ayla, used to come, we used to have a shiur Monday, Thursday, we prepared four pages. So for the first 6 months, he went in alphabetical order. So for the first 6 months, he went to sleep, because he knew he wasn't going to call on you, because he followed alphabetical order. But your name never came. You prepared the four pages. We never had a bechina. You done four pages, you wrote the bottom of the page, go finish next. That's it. That's what it was, Torah V'das. I sat there, I fetched you a day, and I got a piece of paper. Never did I ever mean to use it. I never took it seriously. Get a piece of paper. And then God took a hold of mine. I needed $6,000. I became a rabbi. And I had a whole different sense of what the rabbis was. And my father wasn't home. It was very hard for me. And I swore to myself that I would be home for my children. That I wouldn't have that kind of a mom. And that I would make sure that no matter where I am, I'm home for my children. Because I didn't want to sacrifice my children. I didn't want my children to grow up with the resentment that I grew up in, and the difficulty, and the tension, and the problems that I had, and the challenges that I had being a child of a rabbi. To be embracing a child of a rabbi. It's complicated. You have to be conscious of it. You have to be aware of it. You have to be on top of it. When I was in the Jewish Center, some people would say, oh, your daughter really should know this. After all, she's the daughter of a rabbi. And every time I went over to them and I sat them down, I said, wash your mouth out with soap. You should never talk to them. You shouldn't impose on my child anything just because my child is the child of a rabbi. There's no reason for you to do that, and it's inappropriate. And I stuck my neck out constantly to try to help my kids to the extent to which I could, to protect them from projections that people have on them. After all, you're the kid of the rabbi. You should be this, you should be. They're human just like you are, and that you have to allow them to be whatever it is that they can be. I was home for my kids when they came home from school. My wife is a psychoanalyst, so she had a busy private practice. I was able to create my schedule. Even when I had 600 families, I created my schedule. The kids came home, so there's cookies, and there's ice cream, and there's milk, and there's homework. And I was there 2 hours a day, every day, heard Vayabar for 10 years when my kids came home from school. And sometimes I took them along to Mincha. Sometimes I missed Mincha. I was there for my kids. For me, it was the most important thing in the world. And, it ain't over till it's over. There are no guarantees. But rabbis and rabbis' wives, rabbis and all of us, need to be there for our children. What does the Medrash say? Moshe Rabbeinu says, now it's my turn. What? My Nishmita, why is here? Hashem, okay, I will have a bus of every little smoke. Lo, bro, the vaka, it's not the page 3. I don't know what to say to my clothes. Hello. Even Sheyorshu, the nose is Lovcha, Abiyan. Hello, even Sheyorshu, the nose is Lovcha, Abiyan. Amar Moshe, Arei Asher, Shed, Baba Tzorki. That's my turn. Took care of the nose is Lovcha. What about the name Moshe? In my bonus, Yorshos, Badinu Sheyorshu Bonayis Kvodi. Amar Lako Neshbrochu, listen to this. Mamish, you cry. My heart breaks. What does Hashem tell Moshe Rabbein? Me, Lonu, Kodu, Mi, Moshe Rabbein. Hashem says, Pasuk says in Mishnah, Don't say, Te'ino, Yochel, Kiryo. Banecha, Yashvu, Lohen, Vlo, Osku, Betorah. Yoshua, Habe, Sher, Secha, Habe, Chal, Kova, Huay, Mashke, Mumar, Rabbe, Safad, Huay, Misana, Nesaf, Sasolim, Peres, Amach, Salos, Hoya, Lohu, Sher, Secha, Bechal, Kova, Gnayish, Shabbos, Yisrael. What does Hashem tell Moshe Rabbein? What does Hashem tell Moshe? It scares the living daylights out of him. And it shoot out of you. Vanecha Yashmuel, Velosko Batorah. Moshe Rabbeinu, Velosko Batorah's kids. And the next letter said that he had an Enochel who became a Kaimel of Abizar. It's just my mother. Moshe Rabbeinu. Forget about Moshe Rabbeinu for a second. You and me. What about our kids? Our kids didn't ask to be brought into this world. We brought our kids into this world. So we have an obligation. And I don't care. I must tell you, and this is all autobiographical, I am totally not disqualified. I have zero respect, less than zero respect, for a rabbi who's always out there running, doing, caring, talking, helping, holding, doing. Zero respect. Because what happens to his children? What happens to the wife? What happens to the family? Who are you kidding? And I am chayshish. That is not l'shem shemayim. I am convinced that it's not l'shem shemayim. What's what he thinks is l'shem shemayim? Without me? Without me? Cannot. I'm a rashi. Either he's running after covet, or he's running away from his family. He's running away from himself. He's filling up his life with so many things to do that he doesn't want to face himself. Now, I don't expect you light bulbs to go off. But in 5 years, you heard it here first. Light bulbs are going to go off. The rabbi needs to make cheshbon ha-nefesh, not only not to think that he's such a rashi b'ahav because some lady in the shul said, that was so wonderful.
So if I'm the hearts and you're going to think, oh man, that was a
good God. No. No, it's not. That's the least of it. That's the least of it. It's who do you think you're kidding when you're being such a tzad? What is motivating you, Zipkis? Is it coming from a good place or from a bad place? And any rabbi who's never home, for me, is a failure. It's an absolute failure. Don't tell me that you can't find 2 hours a day, 1 hour a day, whatever it is, for your family. It's unacceptable. It's a lie. And you are running away from something. You are running towards something, but it's not the Shem Shem. So I want to, I'll make a point a second. What I want to say is, there ain't anything more special and more meaningful. Talk to your friends who come home from a war practice. Talk to your friends who come home from business. Medicine is a shtickle different because medicine, you really feel mamish, that's always the flesh is in another kind of world that you need. But besides medicine, let's take besides medicine. Talk to them when they come. They're searching for meaning. And after a while, the money's great, the money's rolling in, and they got this annuity, and they got this, and they got a portfolio from different items, more. But they're looking for something. Young people today, I'm talking about Erlich people. They're looking for something. They're looking for meaning. So they want to be part of a shul, they want to be part of an alumni of a yeshiva, they want to go to shul, they want to go to dafyomi, they want to go to minyan. They're looking for something. But they have to steal it away from roiv avodasa that's not avodas hakodesh. So we have such a bracha. And it's not just the bracha because we're involved in avodas hakodesh and doing God's will. I'm saying for us, our own sense of fulfillment. We live a day that's worth living, that we made a difference in the world. We made a difference, it doesn't make any difference. But the things that we need to think about. We need to think about the issue of time, the issue of self, and the issue of faith. The issue of time is, don't get caught up and think that you're doing great because you're giving 7 shiurim. What are the 7 shiurim giving to you? The issue of self, why am I doing this? What's motivating? Make a cheshbon. Think about yourself. Can I really maybe not go to this meeting? Maybe my children are more important. That's the issue of family. You shouldn't sacrifice our family. When was the last time I went out with my wife? That was the last time I was there for my wife. And I think for women involved in Avodas HaKodesh, it's not just being supportive of a husband. It's not just the secondary one. But here again, it's autobiographical for my own life. It was really a partner with me in all of the rabbanis that I did. there are so many opportunities today, and I think today more than ever, so many opportunities today for the Rebbetzins to be able to really engage in a serious, meaningful way for you in the community work. Directly, it's not finding a husband, it's not supporting a husband, or it's not putting a murmur in front of your husband saying, you know, whoa, don't get carried away with this. For yourself, to find areas that are meaningful to you. And there are a multiplicity of areas today. Whatever speaks to you, there are a multiplicity of options, and Jews appreciate it. They don't expect it as much as they used to. When I became a rabbi at the Jewish Center in 1981, they asked me about my wife. So I said to them, we're paying one salary, be happy for you to talk to my wife. She'll do whatever she wants to do. You're not hiring her, you're hiring me. And I must say, it was pretty gutsy for me to say it. But I said it, and I made the ground rule, and they respected it. Jews today understand that it's not two for the price of one. Most Jews understand. But wives, if they don't have other careers, if you don't have other careers, and you want to be involved, there are incredible opportunities to be involved in it. Sipur Kanefesh, personal Sipur Kanefesh, in addition to the sort of more indirect ways by being supportive to a husband who needs desperately needs a supportive wife. Sometimes it's hard, and our wives really save us. And that brings me back to the beginning. We should mamish kiss the ground so our wives will work. Because after all, we get the cover. We get out there making the speeches. Oh, crap. They don't get that. They don't get that. They don't have seven talmidim after the shiur who wait to talk to them. They're at home with the kids that we neglected. They're at home with the children that we should be looking at that we forgot about. Oh, my wife is home, she'll take care of them. So, we have to be mechabit our wives. You heard it here first. We have to be mechabit, talk to the men. We have to be mechabit our wives. More than ever. Because they're more misnefesh than we. They're giving up more than we. We have to appreciate it and constantly express our prayers. So there's a lot of issues, a lot of things to think about, and we should all be zocher to keep true to the path and get the kind of support, the psychological support, the social support, the learning support, the chaverim, the group that we need in order to be successful.
Yeah. Thank you, Ray, to the system, rather than just expectations. We don't want to ask students who just are teaching forever. I mean, aren't a lot of the PTSD syndrome the case that we're talking about, there's other communities that have access to making sure that?
So I think, when I said to my shul, you're paying one salary, what I was saying to my shul is, you shouldn't have any expectations about my life. And I think when I tell people in the shul, don't say that about rabbi's children, it's because they shouldn't have expectations about rabbi's children. And I think if we tell our lives, I do, I can't come to that meeting, because my kid has a second grade chumash plan. And for me, it's important to be a high second grade kid's chumash plan. Then you model for them the importance of family for you and their life. I think you absolutely do. But don't be afraid to do it. You have to put your foot down and say, you know I'm there for you. I'll make the meeting at another time. I'll make the meeting almost a year. But this is your heart. And you know what? It should be that way for you too. And it should be that way for you and your children. And it's important to build into the relationship. Shuls do have expectations, but I think that's also changed. We're living in a modern world where shuls, malavatim, also understand the rabbi's life. That the rabbi is also a human being. And we need to encourage that from day one. And to allow space for that. And to educate towards that. Now sometimes if you're a young rabbi in a shul and you're nervous, you want to make an impression, so it's going to be harder for you to turn things like that. But that's the goal to aspire to. And the sooner you get there, the much better it's going to be for you and for them. And it's not as uphill as you think it might be in today's culture. It's there, but it's not as much. Any other haaretz? It's been a pleasure. There are many haaretz, but for some reason they're embarrassed or don't want to ask. So I can understand that. I'll give you my email address and my phone number so you can ask me privately. 212-960-0011. 212-960-0011. My email address is my first letter, my first name, J-S-C-H-A-C-T-E at YU.edu. No R. Only any letters in the handle of YU. Email system, JSCHACTE@YU.edu. There got to be issues. I hope that you have a chance to talk with one another, to engage people who you respect as rabbis and as educators, and to really think through these issues, the very hard personal issues, to think before you enter into what I believe is the most rewarding and most exciting profession possible in the world today. All the best and a lot of luck.